Hello, everybody. Today you're going to hear a very interesting story with Bane. Bane is a Chinese scientist who decided to become a priest and make a difference this way. But unfortunately, he couldn't do it in China. That's why he decided to immigrate to the United States. He's going to talk about his wife and how she was tortured, about his journey in this country, and much more. Please welcome Bane.
I think it's pretty fascinating when somebody changes a career that drastically from being a chemical engineer to becoming a pastor. So first of all, why did you decide to become a chemical engineer in China?
Oh, yes, when I say, in the so-called Cultural Revolution in China, people couldn't go to university easily. But after the so-called Cultural Revolution, I took an extra exam there. I went to university. At that time, I just studied, I wanted to study science. But I transferred the occupation, I transferred the field to theology because you see, this is a calling from God. We see as a, well, yeah, as for a religious person, we see this is a calling as a, as from God. And then we devoted ourselves to God. Then I transferred this. This is a very religious reason. Yeah.
I remember you mentioned that several times, but you decided to become a chemical engineer because your parents told you it's a good profession to be in, or like you said, you like science. Was there any particular reason why you chose chemical engineering?
This is not as a particular reason. In China, it's at that time is to be a university student was not easy. So 10 people, according to my remembrance, more than 10 people, in fact, took exams. Only one person will be enrolled, qualified, became qualified to be a university student. The entrance exam was strict and hard, not so easy.
Interesting. So,
I didn't choose too much. You see, if I passed the examination, I was enrolled by the university, I was lucky. So I couldn't choose much. I can choose something, but anyway, if I'm enrolled by a university, I was lucky. I don't care about what kind of field, whether it's a physics or chemistry or something.
Understand. And somewhere down the road, your journey brought you to the spiritual world that you are, that is a very big part of your life right now. Do you remember how that happened? How you decided to be more spiritual? I remember in the article you said that practicing a religion was very dangerous in China back then, and people gathered together in other people's homes in order to support this belief. Do you remember how that started with you, your religious journey?
Yeah, this is just now I mentioned this so-called cultural revolution. At that time in China, all churches were closed down. So Christian gathering was illegal. This journey is, anyway, in China to be a Christian is not easy. Even nowadays, China has an open policy, but to be a Christian still the Christian cannot gathered in-house, unregistered gathering. This is considered as illegal. But if a Christian goes to so-called three self church, official church, still there some limitation. For example, you see a person who is under 18 years old cannot go to church. It's forbidden.
Really?
Yes.
Even nowadays in China?
Yes. Yes.
What is the reason behind
that? It is the poster, the big poster in the entrance of the church. A person who is under 18 cannot come in.
Interesting. And why is that?
I think no really religious freedom in China.
Wow. Wow, this is something new I'm learning this morning. You cannot enter a church until you're 18 and older. Interesting, interesting. So also I, when I was reading your article, I remember that your religious journey brought you to South Africa. Did you go to South Africa when you were in China, or you already immigrated to the United States?
I went to South Africa from China, directly from China to South Africa. I didn't apply for a missionary position at first. I just went to South Africa with a as a reason, I worked for a company. But in fact, at first I got the visa from Lesotho, is a small country in South Africa. Then I went to South Africa. I worked in a Taiwanese company. Then I began to missionary work. Got in touch with local churches, then I began missionary work.
I didn't realize that in South Africa, you already started your missionary journey. That's interesting. And then from South Africa, did you come back to China, or it was your straight path immigrating to the United States?
Yeah, I got the notice from a theological seminary from America, that I came to America directly. I left South Africa for America directly. I didn't go back to China.
Okay, okay. And I also remember that you mentioned in the article your wife and your daughter stayed in China and you relocated to the United States, right? Is this accurate? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You see, I went to South Africa alone. Then my wife and a daughter came and joined me. Then I came to America. So also alone, my wife went back to China for visiting her parents and relatives. At that time, we thought my wife and my daughter could come back to me easily. But it was, in fact, it was not so easy. Wait for some time, then at last they came back to me. Yeah, we reunited in America.
Do you remember how many years it took to reunite for you guys?
Maybe about, I couldn't remember well, maybe about 2 years.
Yeah. About 2 years. Mm-hmm. And what did it take, I should say, was it the paperwork that took 2 years or some other reasons?
Reason because of my wife, the schoolmate. In fact, my wife and I were schoolmates in a theological seminary. Another our schoolmate was arrested because of religious reason. So my wife was interrogated. So my wife couldn't come to America easily. Even her passport, at that time, her passport was taken away. So she couldn't come to come out from China. At last, the solve as a problem was solved. In fact, it's not the problem with my wife. See, my wife had no any problem. Just local government wanted to do investigation. So my wife is at that time. Yeah, at last they came. Yeah.
It sounds like a miracle that she came here, because when I was reading about torturing her by the Chinese police officers from 4:30 at night till 2:30 in the morning, and how the daughter was crying behind the door when they were searching the house, and your wife wasn't allowed to approach the daughter and calm her down. These are just some pretty scary facts. And I always think of the situations like this, or when people come back from Iraq, where they saw a war, they saw open bodies. How can you live in peace in the country like the United States with all that you had in the past? It's a huge trauma. And I don't know if your wife has recovered from the trauma. It's just mind-blowing. I don't know, it just requires a lot of work, mental work, to overcome all this.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, my wife was suffered a lot. Even my daughter was suffered a lot, because my daughter was such a child. At that time, so yeah, both of them were both of them suffered a lot mentally. Even my wife, physically, because she was interrogated severely. This like a torture, because the person who did the investigation could turn several people will get an investigation, but my wife always had to be there for a long time. So yeah, so suffered a lot, but I think they recover now. Gradually they recover. Now it's okay, totally okay.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, so here's your American journey begins. And how was it for you when you come to the United States? And the biggest question that everybody wants to know, did you speak any English when you came to the United States?
Yeah, in America, for me, I think there's a religious freedom. To compare with China, this is the atmosphere is very good for religious people. I say I'm a pastor, so I can preach the gospel in church. No any limitation. So I think without limitation means I can preach easily. My English is so. But in Chinese church, we normally have a service for adults and for young people. A young generation speaks English. So for me, it's still I feel difficult to teach the Bible, to teach young people the Bible, because my English is so limited. But normally, a Chinese church at least has two pastors. One is a Mandarin pastor, another is English pastor. So but I still have to improve my English. To communicate with young generation well.
And you are doing a fantastic job, Bane.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. I don't think there is such a thing as to know any language, basically, 100%. It always evolves and changes, and I think we learn any language's lifetime, because to me it's a living thing and it's so fascinating. Now I know that you spread God's word and you do sermons in different churches, and now you are doing this over Zoom. You use a lot of technology. How different is it for you to do it in life, real life, and to do it over Zoom?
If you talk to people, give a sermon to people, face to face, it's I can't communicate well. I think it's more functional for the sermon. But nowadays, especially during coronavirus, we have to give sermon on Zoom. But this is also a good choice. Otherwise, we, as for Christians, we cannot have our gathering Christian service. It's a disaster. So we have to gather together. So nowadays I give sermon on Zoom. I give sermon to many churches in California, in Florida, Ohio, and Atlanta, many places. But nowadays, recently I began to give sermon to one church in Pennsylvania. I lead a Bible study at our Sunday school and giving sermon to this church. On Zoom, yeah. Every Sunday I give a sermon on Zoom. After service, I lead adult Sunday school. On Friday night, I lead a Bible study, yeah.
That's fascinating. I think technology has opened up so many opportunities, and to me, it shows there are no boundaries. Like you are saying right now, I preach in the church in California, in Pennsylvania. I mean, if it's a real life situation, you have to fly or drive there. It takes you some time to get there. But now it's just the push of a button and you have all the audience in front of you. I know it's not the same, it's very different, but I think it's the fastest way to reach bigger audience and to spread your word to the people and support so many people. Don't you think so?
Yeah, nowadays, you see, we have, just now I said, you see, if we talk to people face to face, the teaching or the sermon will become more functional. However, on Zoom, we have other benefits. You see, we can, like me, you see, I can connect with many churches. I can contact many churches on Zoom, not physically. If physically I just stay in one church, then I only lead one church. But nowadays I can give sermon to many churches. But recently, the church in Pennsylvania asked me to lead them, give them, to help the church. So I don't know, after the coronavirus, maybe I'll go back, I go to the church in Pennsylvania, but I still can have my choice, but maybe I think I will go there.
Okay, interesting. Good to know your plan. You're going to Pennsylvania, I didn't know that. Well, it's very interesting that somebody like you drastically changes the careers and going from science to religion. What is the main benefit? What is the main reward you see by doing this pastor's work? So what is that thing that makes you feel good being a pastor?
Yeah, I think you see, everyone lives who lives in this society does contribution to the society. The technology, see, we also see, but when I was an engineer, I did a contribution to the society about the in the field of technology. But nowadays, I'm in the theological field. I think this is to compare with the technology. I think is just my view. It's my view. So it's more important. This is my view. More important because you see, this is can when people are in difficulties, I can comfort them with the teachings of the Bible. Also, I can see through the sermon and the Bible study, I teach people their wins, lost souls to Jesus Christ. And for me, a pastor, a religious person, I think this job is so important.
Interesting. I'm glad you look at this like this, and you definitely always have a bigger picture. And I like when you say, I contribute like this. I spread a good word. I spread good teaching. And I remember you mentioned once that sometimes you can be in a very interesting situation between a husband and a wife, and when they argue and they invite you to their home to help them with their dispute. So how do you usually feel when that happens? Do you think like, oh my gosh, it's a husband and a wife, I don't really know how to bring peace to this family, or you're confident? How do you usually feel in this kind of a situation?
Well, this situation, I think it's abnormal, it's also normal. Abnormal, they should not argue and even fight with each other. The normal, why I say normal, we are human beings. We are weak, so weak. The conflicts often happen between among human beings. Even, I think a conflict will be between husband and wife and parents and children, and even colleagues. Even if a good person, he wants to avoid the conflict, but sometimes people will even misunderstand with each other, maybe the conflict arise. But as for me, a pastor, I often encounter such issues, say if there are conflicts in the family, if I know, I try to comfort them with the teachings of the Bible. Even sometimes they call me, I have to go. Even other difficulties, for example, someone cannot find a job for a long time, then the person feels depressed, or some people are sick in hospital, I go there, I comfort all these people. So as for a pastor, not only do I teach the Bible in church, but also I take care of them and help them solve the problem and visit them at their home or in hospital and somewhere else.
It does sound like you represent your community and you are very active in your community. It's not just you do a sermon over Zoom or in the church and you go home. It's bigger than that. Like you say, they call you, they ask for help, and you come out and you show up and you support people. That's great. That's wonderful. But you are obviously human yourself. And where do you get your inspiration? Where do you get your healing?
I think this Bible is a good resource for everyone, even for me.
So you go to the Bible, huh? Interesting, interesting.
I gotta say one thing, you see, now I help a church in Pennsylvania. We use WeChat. WeChat is a tool of communication. Yeah, yesterday I saw many messages on WeChat. One sister's husband will get a surgery, a heart surgery in the near future. So I called this sister, I comforted her, and also, say some more, just anyway, help her, encourage her to, such things are, we as a human being, so we have to face. See, we are human beings, we have difficulties and sickness, but according to, but I rely on in the God as he be, anyway, I encourage her to be brave to go ahead without fear.
That's so true. Yeah, fear is a big factor for failure or growth. We know that. And I'm glad that you are there for people to support. And when you talk about WeChat, I know that it's a very, very big app for communicating in China and above, beyond China, with family, friends. It's quite big. And even you use WeChat. It's interesting. So you've been in the United States for how long now?
More than 20 years.
More maybe, than 20 years.
Maybe 24, 25 years.
That's good amount of time to understand what you really like about this country. And maybe figuring out your American dream. What is your American dream, Bain?
Yeah, I think that my American dream is still related to my religion. See, in China, if I was ordained as a pastor in China, if I'm a pastor in China, I cannot do things freely. But in America, you see, I not only do I preach freely, I can publish something freely. Like me, you see, I published a magazine, study the Bible. I electronically distributed the magazine to other Chinese all over the world. I said because nowadays we use a computer, so through computer I sent out the magazine to Europe, to Asia, to other people in America so easily. So I every time, this is a bi-monthly magazine, I distribute 3,000. This is 3,000 people can receive my magazine. Then they distribute for me continually. So this is a job if I cannot do in China, but I can do in America easily. This is I can say this is an American dream for me. It's easily to do religious work.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Freedom of religion and freedom of expression. So these are the main things for you being in this country, and you are using this opportunity, and I'm so happy to see that. And this magazine, have you established this magazine? Have you started this magazine yourself?
Yes, I studied as the organization, non-profitable organization, and this organization is registered in IRS. The name of the organization is Chinese Christian Mission. I'm the founder, and also I'm the editor of the magazine.
Interesting. And you said that the magazine is issued twice a month.
No, two months. Publish once to every 2 months.
Okay.
Bi-monthly magazine.
Okay. All right. And what is the name of the magazine?
It's Study the Bible.
Study the Bible. And you usually talk about the Bible, obviously, in this magazine.
Yeah, in magazine, there are a lot of things. Mainly, it's a commentary on the Bible. Also, there are some testimonies and sermons.
Interesting. Wonderful. Thank you for doing this. As you're going through your journey here in the United States, do you remember the biggest impression that you've had of this country? Maybe the first time you arrived here, what was the biggest impression?
I think it is to compare the Chinese society. I can only say compare to the Chinese society. American seems people can more open. I think people see friendly to each other. Especially I think the one thing is really the Yeah, I think in America, people just I give example. You see, if a person works in a company, the person just doesn't work well, then he is appreciated by the company and the boss. So this is easily the human relationship. How to say the relationship between people are not so complicated. This is, I think, I really like. I really can impression. Yeah, I think this. I'm sorry. It's hard to say.
Maybe you mean that people can be easily approached.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you ask me, especially the first time I came to America, what's my expression? So, yeah, I don't know. See, where I first, I came to America, I came in from JFK, just Kennedy Airport in New York.
Okay. Where
the airplane planned to was landing. I saw still was in the air. It was landing. I saw many cars in the parking lot in the airport. I'm impressed. I thought to say at last I came to the freedom country. I thought I'm free.
As you were landing, you thought, okay, I'm free now. Interesting. Yeah, when you say this, I think that we take so many things for granted, and even people. And I'm reminded once again that freedom, this is something unique we have, and we do need to reconsider how we approach freedom. And I'm talking in general. It can be any kind of freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of having different food, freedom of having free time. Right, things like this, we do take it for granted, don't you think so, Bain?
Yeah.
It's Interesting. Everything you say, it's just, it's a great reminder for everybody. When you think back then, the time as you were landing, you're arriving here, you are in the land of free. And what kind of advice would you give to that young Bane who just landed in JFK, who has just started his journey in this country? What would be your advice?
If I give the advice to a newcomer, I always give, say, you have to study English well. The English is very important.
Yes, communication is the key. If there is no language, there is no communication, no relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Study English.
Yes.
That's the main advice from Bane. Wonderful. Great. Bane, are you on any social media? I think I know the answer, but I want to ask.
Social media, I use Zoom. And also, you see, email, because my email is different from not to see you, not only see the personal communication with other people, because we talk about religious, it's not Bible issues. So even on we use WeChat, talk to people. Through WeChat, I talk to people. Some people will ask me, often ask me the questions they post on WeChat about they cannot understand some Bible verses, they cannot understand. They just post on WeChat, then I give them answer.
Understand. Do you have a website for your nonprofit organization?
I don't have my personal web. The local government is organization established. I searched through internet. I find it too. They set up for me. Just as briefly introduce this organization. See, there's a Chinese Christian mission in somewhere, or this is a non-profitable organization, something. But it's very simple. Web. I'm thinking of it. I think I will establish a web in the near future. The person suggests I should have a web. Also, he says I can post many articles on the web. It's more beneficial. It will be more beneficial to other people. Yeah.
That's so true. And you get the exposure to bigger audience and more people have the access to your resources.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, Bane, I want to thank you for your mission and what you do. And I want to thank you for giving me a very unique experience, because you're the first one and you are one of a kind. I have been working and learning quite a lot, and I'm very, very fascinated with your story. For the most part, probably what fascinates me is the courage that you had. And with the decision that you made to transition from science to religion and spread that mission to your community and to the world. It's wonderful. I think we should hear more stories like yours to be encouraged and motivated.
Oh, thank you so much. Your interview is also encourages me to learn English well. When we talk, my English is so limited. So I see your interview is helping me to study English well, encourages me. See.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, to improve my English, I will continue.